the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site, and this is solo pod for me. It is just me in this episode, episode 450, recording on a Thursday night, as this is intended to be the Cardinals preseason opener preview. Talk about a couple of things. We have the Cardinals training camp. And that means that no more public practices, no more reporting about what we see at practice, and it means everything moves back to Tempe. And what does that mean? Well, means a few things. One thing that we know is that, and I want to talk about a couple of things. I want to talk about in this edition of the show what Colt McCoy recently said about Kyler Murray and his potential return, and wasn't news necessarily because he said it before. But also, as with the Cardinals coming up, kind of talk about my players to watch and kind of what I want to see and what Jonathan Gannon wants to see in this game. Let's get started talking about Colt McCoy's comments about Kyler Murray. Colt, in a recent interview, said that Kyler to return sooner rather than later. What does this mean? Now, this is not the first time Colt said this. In fact, I think this is the second or third time that Colt has talked about Kyler coming back sooner rather than later. And that isn't news. That part isn't news. But it's just, what does that mean? What does that mean? Because Kyler still is on PUP, so he is ineligible to practice. And where we are, he did say initially the goal was to start the season. I still think that's probably unreasonable, because that would be 8 months post surgery, and while it's been done before, I don't think that's going to be the case this time around, especially since he hasn't had any practice reps. Now, if we think about, recording on this Thursday night, we are exactly 1 month from the start of the season. So it would seem reasonable to me that if there's any chance of Kyler playing in the opener, then the latest he could come off PUP would be after the Chiefs game next week. And that would give him a solid two and a half weeks of practice. I would say probably more reasonable would be it. We can really think about him playing in the opener if he comes off PUP this next week. I don't think that's going to happen. I still think so. Here's what can happen if he's on PUP. To start, if they move him to the reason PUP, he will have to miss 4 games, and then they can make a decision after that. They can activate him for and get into practice. I've always thought, now if you listen to what I've said on the show, and I kind of predicted in the game-by-game predictions, that the way too early predictions, I'm thinking about week six game. And that would, in a sense, create the most roster flexibility, because that would have to carry Kyler Murray on the roster for that at the beginning part of the season. Because you could, if week six is kind of the target, you could have him begin the season on PUP, activate him for practice after week four, and then he has 2 full weeks to really get the reps that he needs to then start by week six. Because that's the tricky part. Because you can't actually do any live team practice until you're off of that. The other thing that they could do is if he's taken off if he's activated before the season, that means that they're targeting somewhere before week four. That not say would be week one, but really is if they choose to take him off POP so he can start praying, that means they anticipate him being back on the field in the first four games of the season. Again, he had surgery at the beginning of January, which would mean, like, if you're looking at even a fairly, you know, reasonable or even optimistic recovery, especially since he had the torn meniscus as well, you're at 9 months, and that put him kind of in the middle of the year. And so you're thinking in that 4 to 6, week 4 to week 6 range. Where was Kyler at? Kyler talked about where he's at. He doesn't know what his timetable is. He's nowhere near that. And until he comes off of that list, the truth of the matter, we don't have a timeline because it's at that point. Is he doing more? I have heard that he is doing more. Not witnessed it, but that his recovery, his rehab, what he's being tested on is more than just straight line running, that there is some little bit of change of direction happening, and it is happening fairly aggressively. And that's going to be kind of the last step in that. He's got to feel comfortable making all the moves and then getting on the practice field and practicing with the team. And so, yeah, for sure. What does that mean, like, with Colt McCoy saying sooner later? I don't know how much that actually means, because Colt said it before, and I think it is, I think basically saying, hey, target week four-ish rather than half the season and later, which is kind of what people were suggesting early on, that, you know, he might miss mid-season. He's hitting his rehab hard, and I'm going to continue to say that I think by week six would be right about the sweet spot. Week five, they would actually be at home to play the Cincinnati Bengals. And so you could have him return at home in week five against Joe Burrow and company. Or you could have him on the road in week six against the LA Rams. I don't know. Now, there are definitely some pros and cons to doing that, because you've got, you know, Aaron Donald, as always. But, you know, rather than later is great news. But it's not altogether surprising. It's not a surprise at all, because that's the way it's been trending. That's the way it's been trending, even with Jonathan Gannon's consistent stating that he'll play when he's physically and mentally ready. That's what I got to say about that. So coming up next to the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, Mr. of Cardinals Talk, and let's move forward to, and want to talk about the preseason opener. Who are the players that I have my eye on? That's coming next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the web. This not, probably not an hour this time, as I'm doing a solo show, episode 450. And the Cardinals host the Denver Broncos in their preseason opener on Friday night. You should be able to hear this before. Like, hopefully it's downloaded and you actually get to listen to it before the Cardinals play. Kickoff at 7 p.m. Arizona time is State Farm Stadium. I'll be there covering the game, as I have since 20, in the press box and then post game in the locker and the press room for the press conferences. Let's kind of go down the list. Number one, I want to see the limited amount of Colt McCoy. How does the offense look initially? And I know some people are suggesting, like, if you give Colt McCoy some live game reps and he looks bad, and that might open the door for Clayton Toon. I think that'll happen, especially with the way they've sounded about Clayton Toon. Like, he's definitely a rookie, and he's definitely making mistakes. And from what we've seen in training camp, both quarterbacks have had some struggles. But there's one thing that I think we can trust with Colt is the notion of he will protect himself and he will protect his teammates. He won't at least get himself killed, which is what, if you call the wrong protection or you don't pick up the right protection, that can happen with a young quarterback. Quarterback like Toon. I want to see him come through that game a little healthy. I think everyone is watching Michael Wilson, the third round rookie out of Stanford, because of how he's looked in training camp. you know, we need to find out if this is just a case of the cornerbacks being bad or if he can do this against other players. Seth and I have talked about on the last couple of shows about, let's go back to 17 and Brandon Williams, who looked like an absolute stud in training camp going up against Michael Floyd, when the truth of the matter, Michael Floyd was not in a good place and did not have a good year, and Brandon Williams ended up getting benched after the first week of the season when they signed Marcus Cooper. And basically halfway through week, about mid second series of week two, and Cooper had basically taken Williams' job. And so we always take training camp standouts with a grain of salt until we in preseason action. I think that's what we want to see. And especially if he's going to get first team reps and the Broncos are going to play their starters at least early in the game. You know, Jonathan Gems, how does he just do against Pat Surtain? That's ultimately it. How does he look against starting caliber cornerbacks from other teams? And so will we see him get open? Will he make plays, or will the lights be too bright? And you know, Kringers, hopefully he doesn't have an injury setback of any kind. On the offensive line, I'm looking at two players in particular. I'm not worried about DJ Humphries. I'm not worried about Elijah Wilkinson, truthfully, because he's been a veteran. But Yelda Froholt at center and Paris Johnson right tackle. I want to see how the rookie does. And more importantly, I want to see how that center does, because it feels like that they're rolling with him as the starter unless something drastically changes. Like even line, like with Seth and I, we mentioned on the last show, is that he doesn't even crack the top two. He's the third string center behind Froholt and then rookie John Gaines. And so let's keep an eye on Froholt, make sure that the communication between him and the quarterback is good, that the snaps are quality, and protections are being called and things like that. So he's another player I want to watch. I've got my eyes on the young running backs. I don't think Keonta Ingram, but Tyson Williams, Amari DeMarcado. I don't know if Stevie Scott, the guy that they just signed, and of course Marlon Mack, did tear his other Achilles. That was always going to happen, wasn't it? A guy that's played only 15 games since 2020, tore his right Achilles in 2020. And just like I mentioned to Seth in the last show, is that Corey Peters had just come back from an Achilles and then immediately in training camp tour, this is what happened. He ruptured his other Achilles. He's done for the year. And they signed a guy, Stevie Scott. You've never heard of him. He played in the USFL. He's bounced around the Broncos and the Saints since, you know, entering the league as an undrafted rookie. So Stevie Scott maybe gets some reps, but I'm keeping my eye on Tyson Williams and Amari DeMarcado. They both have an opportunity to really kind of establish themselves to battle for playing time behind James Conner. On the other side of the ball, I don't think B.J. Ojulari is going to play. He was just activated off PUP, but, you know, for the few snaps, let's see if Zaven Collin gets any push in the pass rush. Cam Thomas, how does he look? And you know, there's the position battles as well at linebacker. So aside from Kaiser White, does Josh Woods, does Chris Barnes make plays? The cornerbacks, can Ketrell Clark make plays? Christian Matthew? Or is it going to be Antonio Hamilton? Because like we've seen first team reps in training camp, and it was Marco Wilson's the clear number one. And then you had alternating series with Christian Matthew and Ketrell Clark. But is it, and then Antonio Hamilton is listed as the top guy on the depth chart. So I don't know what we should, not what should we think of that. And I think everyone else, assuming he does get some playing time, wants to see Isaiah Simmons in his position, James, in live game action, playing deep safety as he's done. I'm also intrigued about Jalen Thompson playing in the slot. He will be primarily in the slot, but he will still be on the field in absolute base packages. Simmons will be the one to come off the field based on what we've seen in practice. And, you know, call me weirdo, call me like doing these deep cuts into the roster battles. Let's look at that, Bob. You wouldn't think that there would be real competition between Nolan Cooley, who's never really stuck on an NFL roster yet, and Matt Hawk, who's a several-year veteran who has not, you know, he's had punting jobs. He's had multiple teams, but he's been a punt. He's been the punter for a team at basically ever since he entered the league, after out of Arizona State when he entered the league a few years ago. Is there that much comp? I'm kind of intrigued to see that and to see how they perform as well. But yeah, and those are baseline. And there's a bunch of young players as well. Like if you want to see the draft picks, you want to see the draft picks kind of do some stuff. You want to see if there's any undrafted rookies that stand out. Does Owen Papo, the fifth round inside backer, superbly athletic. See him make plays. What about the defensive line? How is that going to play out? How's that playing rotation gonna play out? What do we see out of Josh Jones? As it looks, it's going to be hard for him and Kelvin Beachum to make the roster, in my opinion. The tight end situation, I'm not so much, because ultimately we do know who will be the top three on the roster, and that's Zach Ertz, Trey McBride, and Jeff Swayman. And that, you know, Ertz is still on PUP. McBride barely got back to practice. I don't know if he's going to get any, maybe a few snaps, but I doubt it. And Swaim's been injured as well. So we know those three are going to be on the roster. But the guys behind them, who can be, is it going to be Noah Tojiai? Is it going to be Blake Whitehart? Is it going to be the kid out of Michigan, Joan Honickford? Those are the guys that need to step up. But yeah, I mean, you look across the just pay attention to Jonathan Gannon too. How does the defense look as well? So those are the players I'm at. I think we're all looking at Clayton Tune as well. How does he look if he gets, assuming he gets some extended action after Colt McCoy? Not necessarily to try to push McCoy, but just give him some game reps to evaluate him in front of, you know, other teams and other defenses than their own and things like that. I'm more intrigued to make sure that Colt McCoy looks sharp. We know what he is. He's not going to be a world beater. Like, can he, against pretty good Denver defense, keep the ball and the offense on schedule? I think that's kind of like what the priority would be. And so, yeah. So coming up next on the Rise Up Spirit podcast, Superstar Cardinals Talk on the web. Let's look at a couple of things. One, what Jonathan Gannon said about what he wants to see out of the preseason opener. And also, let's dabble a little bit into the better. Just what's in there. And it's a preseason game. If you're betting the preseason, I'm sorry. You probably shouldn't do it. But, hey, why not? Why not? That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best era of Cardinals talk on the web. And, you know, Jonathan Gannon had some interesting comments about what he's looking for in the preseason. One, compete. Like that, which makes sense. He's been preaching competition ever since he was hired. Everything is a competition. And so you don't want to see the players. And since it's an actual live game, even though the game itself is meaningless, it is not meaningless for those playing the game. So it is one, compete with the player across from you. He wants to see that. He wants the gamer operations to run smoothly. So everyone involved with the game day operations that goes through. And then maybe this is a little bit on Harbaugh and the preseason streak the Baltimore Ravens had. But Jonathan Gannon said, he did say, like, you want to win. And so when you suit up and you get between the white lines, you're trying to win. And I honestly don't see anything wrong with that. They're not going out and game planning trying to win the game. But ultimately, this is all about competition. This is about the players competing. So the starters won't be out there much, much at all. I anticipate maybe a series before they get sent. But especially those young guys late in the game, third and fourth stringers, these are guys fighting for evaluation. Can they squeak onto the roster? Or can they show their value to be a practice squad member? Or can they show enough film for another team to go, yeah, I like this? And moving forward. And so does the actual final score matter? Not for us. But when you want to build a culture of winning, you want to create a scenario in which even preseason games matter. Now, it's, you're planning for them differently. You're not playing your starters through the whole game, but you create the mentality is that even these young players, no, play as a team, play your best football, play disciplined, quality football, and try to win the game, even if the final score doesn't reflect on any meaningful as a team. I do really like that. I like that notion. You know, as a coach, you don't want to send the message to the players that the preseason games don't matter, because they obviously do. And so you want to go to them with a plan. You want to preach winning culture. You want, and it's very interesting because if the pendulum swung the other direction, Dick Gannon is extremely detailed. He wants things done a specific way, believing it is championship behaviors, winning behaviors. And he's process-oriented, not results-oriented, in the idea that you take care of the day-to-day, the results will take care of themselves as long as you are doing things the right way. That said, let's take a look at the betting line. Got BetMGM up, and, you know, the Cardinals are not favored. They are 5.5-point underdogs to the Broncos, with the money line at -225 for the Broncos, +180 for the Cardinals, and then a projected total at a low 37 points. Now, I'm not going to try and handicap the game because preseason games, there's no way to predict it. Now, what should you do if you're going to bet preseason games? Here's how I would go about that. If you want to bet 16 games, I know some of the games have already happened, but like whatever games are left on the schedule, bet the underlying money line every single time and see how it plays out, because there's no way to look at trends for the preseason because those trends are meaningless. Now, what do we expect to see? 37. Now, preseason, you usually do not see projected totals that low in regular season game. You just don't. You see it usually in the 40 to 47 range. It's fairly common. 37 is low. But when we look at it this way, we've got the Cardinals, who has an unknown offensive system. It's probably going to be pretty conservative against a Denver Broncos defense, while it's going to be vanilla. Is talented. We do get to, you know, a couple of things. There's a couple of familiar faces on the Broncos. Allen signed with the Broncos in the offseason, and also Vance Joseph, the Cardinals' former defensive coordinator, is now the defensive coordinator again, back in Denver, where he used to be a head coach. And so we'll get to see a little of that. If I'm looking at the total, I think this week I'm taking the over, I think. And you're probably looking at probably a 24-20 win by buddy. I'm not going to try and predict. If you want to bet the preseason, here's my strategy. Don't look at the spread. Just take the underdog on the money line. If you want to just do the math, because if you look at every team with the positive odds, with those plus odds, you know, with the Falcons game, the Dolphins game, it's +115 Dolphins at home. The Bengals are +165 at home. Interesting that it's the home teams that are listed as the underdogs here. The Lions are +125 against the Giants. The Bucks are +120 against the Steelers. The Commanders are +135 against the Rams. The Cardinals +180. The Bills +150. The Titans +140. The Jets +145. And it looks like, yes, I think we have confirmed that the Cardinals in the preseason are the most underdog. They are the least favored in the entire NFL, as they sit with the longest odds on the money line at +180. So congratulations, Cardinals, Cardinals fans. We continue to believe that this team, nationally, the sports books thinks this team is hot garbage. Preseason football is kind of hot garbage, but we love it. You know you love it. Especially the hardcore fans. know you're going to be watching that second half, and then you're going to be rooting for Tyson Williams and Amari DeMarcado, saying he is him. He's got to find the roster, or let's take David Anini, the guy that they just signed about, I think it was a week ago, when MyJ Sander was out. Keep an eye on him. My guess is he'll probably make some noise in the pass rush just because he'll be playing late in the game. And with that, so what do I want to see? First and foremost, stay healthy. I want to see the starters look sharp-ish. It's their first live game, Rez, but I want them to look sharp. I want them to stay healthy. And I want players in roster battles. I want to see one stand out more than the others, whether that is Matt Hawk just killing out on the punts, or you look at the cornerback positions. What you want to see is either playing at a high level or one separating himself from the other. And so that is what I'm looking for in this preseason opener, and that will wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Series podcast, Best of Cardinals Talk on the web. We talk preseason football. We'll get this uploaded so you can listen to it before Friday's game. We'll be back again next week on Tuesday night, recording with Seth Cox as we get their schedule. Thanks for listening, as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms, so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.